Happy Friday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. You heard that right. It's Friday, a special edition when we're taping here, Ira. A little, I won't even call it a bonus. The bonus was Tuesday. A little different slant on the podcast. But we are here. We're recording at Hooters in Port Richey, our home away from home. The podcast is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. The sage is in the house. Mr. Ira Kaufman, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I want to apologize to our listeners, Lee, because our schedule is a little different this week. And why? Because I needed a vacation.
Yeah.
I needed a vacation after watching Sunday's game, as did most Buck fans. Now, I got a break, and I went to Daytona Beach. And by the way, may I put a plug in for this Delta Marriott Hotel right on Atlantic Avenue, right on the water, right on the water. And no, I didn't go in this time with my glasses, sunglasses, and hat and go head over tea kettle. This time, I stayed away. I stuck to the pool and the jacuzzi, and I was trying to wipe away the stink of Sunday's game. You know what? I'm almost over it, Lee. I'm almost over it. I'm almost looking ahead to the Falcons, as is Mike Smith, because he doesn't want to think about it. As Derek Brooks told me earlier this week, Lee, burn the tapes when you play a game like the Bucks just did, you know, in Chicago. Because it happened to the 99 Bucks in Oakland. You burn the tape.
Well, it's happened so much to Mike Smith. How come the fire department has been called the One Buck Palace?
Hey, Ira, is that the same hotel you went to last time that you stayed at?
It is. We love that
now,
place.
Now, what kind of kickback are you getting? Now, you've been talking about that nonstop. Marriott. Never mind.
You know, we do
you told me you got a deal.
We give our listeners tips on this show to help the community. We're into the community.
All right, Sage, did you have to park across the street by the tattoo shop this time?
No, it wasn't as crowded, so I got my normal parking spot.
Of course, a little midweek October jaunt to the beach. Plenty to talk about that we haven't touched on, and there's always stuff. So we could do this every day, of course, especially.
By the way, I stole a towel out of the fitness room just in case in case they're listening over there on the other side
and
of
I,
the state.
And I felt guilty. I kept a hand cloth from, where did I stay, a J.W. Marriott in Chicago.
J.W. Marriott? All right.
Did you steal back some beach chairs?
No, we bought some new ones.
All right, Ira, look, we went crazy on Mike Smith, obviously, last podcast. Plenty to talk about the Buccaneers. Miserable defense. We touched on all kinds of things. If you haven't listened, and we talked a lot about Jameis, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, you can find the podcast there. Catch yesterday's podcast, Thursday, and all the podcasts. You could subscribe for a free alert. Sage, we'll look at your numbers on your podcast a little bit later in the show. And
by
you know
the way,
what?
Steve, I've been reading our Joe Bucks fan site, like I should, as a loyal member. Correct me if I'm wrong, but at this stage, Matt Nagy, or Nagy, is not the only guy that is trying to suggest that the Buck defense is, quote, predictable. Am I correct, Lee?
Chris Sims. And this is more damning. Well,
Chris Sims has no axe to grind against Mike Smith.
No,
you know.
Nagy was bad enough when he said we knew what they were going to do. Any coach that says that, that's a red flag. When Chris Sims said he's doing the same thing he did when I played against him as the defensive coordinator in Jacksonville.
That's a decade ago.
I was going to say that 15 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas.
You got to structure. Wait, Steve. You got to structure.
Who are you talking
to? He's distracted by Kay Adams.
Steve, you structure your scheme around your talent. You structure your scheme around the talent to put your players in the best position to succeed. That's what you do. If you have to change things from week to week, depending on who you're playing, that's what Bill Belichick does. He throws out the old scheme and comes up with a new one. Now, you know, Belichick's Belichick. He's going to the Hall of Fame, and Mike Smith isn't. But it's just an example, Steve. It can be done. You can make changes.
Of course you can make changes. Now, Ira, I want to hit you on this Buccaneers running game. Now, you've been very critical of the offensive line, and I want to throw this at you. Two things that are sort of interesting. First of all, Peyton Barber, you know, the run game was good early against the Saints, and that sort of opened things up a little bit and set the tone. And then Barber did nothing against the Eagles. And you know,
or the second half against the Saints. He didn't do anything.
Right. They couldn't close the game out on the ground when everybody knew what was coming. And then the last two games combined, Barber only has 15 carries, and he's averaging like 3.8 yards a carry, but it's meaningless because the games have been just meaningless situations. But Ira, here's a nugget that I want you to think about quickly and comment on. the top three run defenses in the NFL right now for yards
Eagles
per carry.
Eagles are one, right?
Eagles, Saints, and Bears.
I would not have thought the Saints.
Saints are number one in run defense in the NFL. So that's, you know, of course, the cynic is going to say.
In terms of what, yards or yards per carry?
Yards per carry.
Yards per carry.
The
right.
Cynic is going to say, well, they played the Bucs. You know, ha, ha, ha. But, come on, there are four games, and the reality is three of the four teams the Bucs have played are number one in the NFL in run defense, yards per carry, not total yards. So you think maybe we need to take a deep breath and look at the Bucs running game over the next two games and assess it?
Lee, I think Steve's making a fair point. I will cut the running game a little slack for this reason. Look, yards per carry is lousy. What is it, 3.0, Steve? 3.1?
3.1.
It's bad. It's bad. And it was terrible last year. And it was terrible the year before. 2015, it was great. Great. Cutter, offensive coordinator in charge of the offense. But, Lee, how are you going to get your running game going in the last two games when you're down 30-10 and 38-3?
That's fair.
Now, that's not the reason Cutter isn't running more those last two games. The reason isn't because they're only averaging 3 yards a carry. It's a reflection of the scoreboard. And say what you want about Dirk Cutter, but you can't fault him for not running the ball more in the last two games. You're out of it at halftime. You got to do what you got to do. They threw the ball like crazy against Pittsburgh, and they almost came back. Sunday's game at halftime, you're not going to run the ball. You're not going to come back. Period. Game over. We all understand that. Yeah, I want him to run the ball better, Lee, but I'm going to withhold judgment a little bit on this running game until the next two or three games and see what happens. Hopefully they're not down 20 at halftime in Atlanta or against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And you can get a better gauge, Lee. I cut him a little slack.
Well, I'm going to ask you something, Ira. And I thought of this just like the last couple minutes. I think it's fair to say that Todd Monken doesn't do anything that Dirk Cutter doesn't want to do. You know, Cutter's the head coach. Could it be that the offense is so up-tempo? Obviously, they have the talent to do that. But is part of it, you think, that they know subconsciously? You know, when I say subconsciously, they're not going to come out and say it, not even in front of Mike Smith. But do you think part of the reason they're so up-tempo and emphasis on scoring points so much early and get a fast start, that kind of stuff, is because they know the defense is so porous?
Well, I see your point, Lee, but I could also turn it to the flip side and say those one-play 75-yard boom drives and your defense is back on the field. Is that what you want? Or do you want to grind out, you know, 12 plays, 67 yards, and chew up some clock and let your defense rest? I see both sides of it.
Is it chicken or egg?
Bombs away because you got to score 35 points to be competitive, or... You know, I look at it the other way also saying, you know, this quick strike offense, at least through 3 weeks, put up a lot of points, but your defense is on the field a lot too. So grind it out. It's hard to grind it out. It's hard. And it's not the way NFL teams are doing it in these days, in this day and age.
Well, they do it if they can. You know, everybody wants to grind it out, and I can bet this. The Bucs would love to keep their defense off the field by grinding it out.
But it's so easy to throw the ball, Steve,
I understand.
In this day and age.
I understand, Ira. I mean, I think to answer Lee's question, yeah, they just want to score, and they'll worry about the defense later. But I'm glad you're upbeat about the running game. Lee, are you a little upbeat as far as what could be coming next?
I mean, that's interesting. I never thought I didn't look at it from the angle you came. So that's encouraging, especially with the Falcons coming up. Falcons, they don't have that great a defense. They're beat to a pulp. They have injuries all over the place. It's interesting that Dan Quinn's a defensive guy, and he's got problems on defense. Arthur Blank spouting off about his team being 1-3. That's always interesting. But then again, I can't help but remember that, you know, Mike Smith supposedly knows what he's doing on defense. Couldn't figure out a way, even though a two-bit high school coach could, much less a fan in the stands, couldn't figure out a way to get Brent Grimes on Julio Jones. And poor Ryan Smith, he was the sacrificial lamb that day.
I'm not ready to pass judgment on Peyton Barber yet. Small sample size. I also want to see some more better holes when they do run the ball. Let me throw this out at you guys. Might it be time to move Evan Smith into the starting role at right guard? You try him?
No, just because do you really think Evan Smith is a quality starting right guard? I'd rather at least develop the kid and give him a shot.
You just told me the kid's swimming. His head's spinning.
I think Evan Smith will start swimming or get hurt through a whole year if he's the guy. Right. So, yeah, just my opinion.
I normally would agree with Steve, but at this point, jobs are on the line. Let's be frank.
And your man Marpet can play a little better than he has the last two games.
The last couple games he hasn't played well. Chicago, I'm well, you know. But the game before that, the Steelers, there was a couple times I saw Steelers, I mean, turned around him like a NASCAR race. Boom, right, like a left turn.
And don't forget, Marpet's never played left guard. Don't forget that. There are some changes.
You're right, but he played pretty good the first couple games. So I can't, you know, I can't.
There's always an adjustment, Steve. There's always an adjustment.
Yeah, Lee's on the money. Sure, there's an adjustment, but he played well the first couple of games. Maybe, you can make excuses all day long. I don't think they're really there.
And by the way, the pass protection, which was very stout for 2 weeks, it started showing cracks against Pittsburgh, although you can't say Khalil Mack took over Sunday's game. I think that would be a wild exaggeration. He's going to make his plays. Overall, I didn't like the protection against Chicago, so I think they can do a lot better in that area, too.
And how much of that is on Chicago? Because they're a good defense.
They are, and they were leading the league in sacks going into the game.
To your point about Marpet, I didn't necessarily see him play badly on run blocking. It's pass blocking that I've seen him get whiffed on a couple times. But to Steve's point, I see what Steve's saying. Normally, I would agree with him, like make Ben Knox sink or swim after what we've seen in the last couple weeks, and, you know. I don't think it's any exaggeration if the Bucks don't have a winning season. Cutter's in some serious trouble. I don't think Cutter can wait for Ben Knock to maybe develop. They got to get Smith.
I think Dotson's playing okay at right tackle. I think he's playing okay.
We'll see. We're going to find out a lot against two weaker defenses, really three, if you consider the Bengals really have let up a lot of points as well. So you got three reprieves on defense here coming up. And they say Benenock's a better run blocker, so maybe they run more. Maybe that makes him look better. I'd love to see what Kappa has to offer, but we're never going to see it. So
Chicago, in fairness, guys, Chicago's defense is going to give a lot of teams problems this year.
Oh, they're one of the best defenses in the NFC. I don't think there's any question about that.
And it's not all Khalil Mack. He's got help.
And speaking of young guys, you know, you're talking about Benenock, Roquan Smith. Middle linebacker.
Excellent.
Yeah, and he's only going to get better. He basically had no training camp, am I correct? Yeah, so he's only going to get better. And by the way, we're talking about Roquan Smith, why I brought it up. We know how much Cutter drools over running backs who can block. He puts more emphasis on that than he can on running. I'm not arguing to devalue blocking. That's just the way Dirk is. Rojo had a hell of a block on Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith blitzed, and he stoned him cold. And that had to...
That's going
to
help him.
That had to bring a smile to Cutter's face.
Steve, you want to talk about the Buck offense? While the Buck defense is going to be tested severely in Atlanta, their problem is not scoring points. You know, Ridley's going crazy. They're getting Freeman back. But, Steve, from a Buck offense standpoint, there's no reason to think, and you keep saying that they're healthy, which they are. They're healthy on offense. They're healthy. O.J. Howard, you know, is out for 3 weeks. You deal with it. You got Cameron Brate. Steve, the Falcon defense is getting torched. And people are not happy in Atlanta with this 1-3 start, nor should they be. A lot of people thought the Falcons were going to win this division, maybe even run away with it. You know, they were a pretty strong team last year. They gave the Eagles all they wanted in the playoffs last year.
Speaking of playing tough, Ira, the Lightning season is back, and that means head coach John Cooper is coming to Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. That's right, Friday, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We'll host John Cooper from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You can come on out there. There'll be more details coming in podcasts later this week. They are right there on Causeway Boulevard. Go to their website, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. They're a great follow on Facebook as well. And you'll be able to come out and meet John Cooper and see all the tremendous offerings at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Watch JoeBucksFan.com, as I know you will. We'll have more information and right here on the podcast next week. When Friday, John Cooper is coming out 4 to 6, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Also, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, General Manager Brian Danahy has big news. The brand new 2019 XT4 crossovers are in and ready for immediate delivery at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. You have to go to their website, edmorescadillactampa.com, to see the 2019 XT4 crossovers. Beautiful. Take one home during the Big Win sales event for just $459 a month. Lease, yes. New XT4s, only $459. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorescadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. We are always so pleased to remind you, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. These are the great Ed Morse Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, and we're so grateful for their support and all they do in the Tampa community. Of course, October is their tremendous promotion with every vehicle sold, having money allocated to help My Hope Chest. And you can go to their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com and edmorescadillacbrandon.com, to learn more about that fantastic charity. It's always good to hear about Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon Ira. Glad we could mention their wonderful work in the community. And yeah, the Falcons, look, there's a crisis going on there. And I want to touch on that and the huge game they have Sunday, which I'll be glued to. I don't know where you'll be, Sage, probably at the beach. But I did want to mention that one of the guys who beat Ali Marpet repeatedly was Bilal Nichols from the Bears, a fifth-round pick rookie defensive tackle. So, you know, that couldn't have made the whole Bucs brass very happy on a lot of levels, because one, because they needed defensive tackle help in this draft, and here's a guy who's kicking ass. He's had a very good year, sort of a nobody out there. So, interesting there. But the Falcons, look, they're 1-3, Ira. They are going to Pittsburgh, where they might go 1-4, obviously.
Although Pittsburgh's been no bargain.
No, Pittsburgh's been no bargain. But look, if the Falcons go 1-4, the Bucs are going to be facing a team that's in full freakout mode, and I expect Pittsburgh to win that game. Can you lose to a 1-4 team and get throttled if you're the Bucs and not have any changes whatsoever with the defense?
You know, Lee, I know Buck fans are focused, some of them, on some of the injuries. Conte's down, and we don't have Hargraves.
I can hear the applause.
But, Lee, you want to talk about injuries to your defense? Come see Atlanta. Come see Dan Quinn and Rich McKay. They've lost some of their best players. Deion Jones, and I mentioned him to Derek Brooks earlier this week. Derek Brooks knows a little bit about linebacker play at the pro level. And I mentioned Deion Jones and how much his absence means to the Falcons. He goes, that guy's tremendous. Brooks said that. He plays inside linebacker. He's an animal. He roams sideline to sideline. Mm-hmm. I got him better than Quan Alexander at this point. He's better.
Yeah, Quan's having a bad year.
You know, so he's out, and Keanu Neal, who's like a heat-seeking missile as a safety, and like he's like 23 years old. He's only going to get better. He's gone. They're really hurting, the Falcons, and it's showing in the points they're giving up. So, Lee, a healthy Buck offense with Jameis Winston, full week of practice. Mm-hmm. With his teammates, with all those weapons.
Yeah, with his teammates.
With all those weapons, Lee. No reason the Bucs aren't going to put up a lot of points at Mercedes-Benz. No reason.
They shouldn't. I mean, there's no reason they should not score a lot of points, yes. Now, here's one for you. I was going to write the story today, Friday. I might have to do it for Saturday or Sunday. It'll get people hacked off. Not that I want to hack off people. This is a legitimate question. Bucs got lit up like a Christmas tree last week by Mitch Trubisky. We can go over
pedestrian offense. Pedestrian.
To be polite, yes. And that's, and Conte wasn't starting. Hint, hint. You think there's a connection? You know, Cutter and Light, both of them are quick to defend Conte, not necessarily because he's their guy, but I know Light said this, and I think Cutter said the same thing. They understand how fans get frustrated with Conte, but they said that the criticism is unfair.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Lee. Steve, what was the line from Cutter? He's better than you think he is. It's not a ringing endorsement, because a lot of Buck fans think he stinks. So maybe he's mediocre. To Lee's point, Steve, we've seen a lot of blown coverages and miscommunications when Chris Conte was on the field. So I'm not blaming it all on Conte not being there.
No, I'm going to go take it a step further. I had said this before. When they played the Steelers and they shut out the Steelers in the second half, Conte was out. It was the rookie, Whitehead, who was in.
You really liked Whitehead's play.
I think he's better than Conte, and I think he was a huge loss with the late hamstring injury against the Bears.
So, and he's only going to get better.
Well, hopefully he'll be back.
Although, to Lee's point, they don't know how to develop a guy in the secondary.
Well, I'll tell you what, Isaiah Johnson, you wonder, he got his bell rung so hard from hitting the head or hitting a wall that he didn't. He was lost in Chicago. He was lost.
How are these two rookies doing, Steve? MJ Stewart and Davis. How are they doing? They look like rookies for the most part. You know.
Well, look at the defense, Ira. Come on, what do you want me to say? Davis has some cover skills. I think MJ Stewart looks like he did in training camp. A step slow. He just looks a step slow all the time. Hard hitter. He play. You know, you could see him when everything's in front of him. I think he's a good player, but you know, he's got some challenges. He's developing. What do you, you know? Look how bad the defense has been. Who's playing great out
and
there?
And like a lot of NFL cornerbacks, Lee, at least on one touchdown that I can remember, he never turned around. He never turned around. When you don't turn around, you got no chance.
I don't know why they teach guys to do that. I have no idea. Yeah. Now, I can't blame it just on being rookies. There's another team called the Packers that are banking on two rookie cornerbacks, one of which is a second-round pick. I don't see them, you know, fighting to keep their head above water. So I just, again, I was shocked to read this. A couple of our readers on JoeBucksFan.com actually asked, hey, Joe, how come you're not going after Hoke and Maxie? I'm like, have you been around in the last year and a half? I got hammered every time I brought up these guys can't develop talent. Now the light is starting to be shining.
That's been a very common theme of yours, a very common theme.
And I wish I was wrong.
FanRetreat.com. You've heard their name on this podcast for a long time. FanRetreat.com. That's where you go to shop for tickets, Buccaneers tickets, Lightning tickets, concert tickets, event tickets, anywhere, not just in the Tampa Bay area, across the country at FanRetreat.com. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code and shop for hotels while you're there. Book your flights while you're there. It's a one-stop shop, FanRetreat.com. This is a great locally owned company. They're Bucks fans, and they've been doing this a while now. Bowl games are coming up. That's where you want to get your bowl game tickets, of course, your travel. FanRetreat.com. Remember, use that Joe Bucks Fan code. It's going to help you out on event tickets, concerts, Lightning, Bucks, FanRetreat.com.
And, Steve, let's not forget about the fundamentals. You know, I did ask you about the two rookie corners, but let's go to the heart of the matter. Pass rush has to be better. You got to help these guys. It's got to be better. It's very sporadic.
All right, Sage, I got a question.
It's got to be better.
The pass rush hasn't been good. We know it.
You might as well stop right there.
Against the Bears.
Why hasn't it been good?
Against the Bears, it was no good.
You're going to blame this all on Bo Allen?
No.
Timeout. You're
they called a timeout.
There's a guy on pace for 16 freaking sacks. Try to tell me they don't have a pass rush. Come on, Ira.
He's been a one-man show, and that shouldn't be.
And what have the Bucs had to pass 8 years?
Well, McCoy needs to step his game up a little.
But it's still a group effort. I mean, they were ninth in the league in sacks in 2016. It just was never consistent, so they tried to address it with Swaggy and whatever. And
look, you watched the game. Trubisky had too much time. End of story.
He could have ordered a deep dish pizza from Geno's East.
I threw that in there for
you, Nelly. That was a great line, Ira.
Yeah, it's been terribly inconsistent and just not enough. But I wanted to ask you about these rookies, Ira, because I always try to ask you about the Glazers, Team Glazer, and their mindset. There are, like Lee said, the Packers have a couple of rookie corners. Packers just pitched a shutout, albeit against Buffalo. But Buffalo can, still showed it can put up some points.
But they're not giving up 35 points a game, Green Bay.
Right, and there are other rookies out there. We get it. However, what about on the running back side? And how much do the Glazers compare rookies if they're evaluating light? Can you even do that? Because it takes guys time to develop. But you look at Sony Michel, who's done well for the Patriots out of the gate, and Kerryon Johnson for the Lions. You know, he broke that streak that they had, with no 100-yard rusher. He was the running back taken after Mr. Jones. And Johnson, let me just pull this up here, Ira. Here we go. Oh, so far this year, he's averaging 5.7 yards a carry, and he has a 100-yard game.
And they're not known for a formidable offensive line.
No, not a good rushing line there. But even so, do you think the Glazers play mix and match and compare?
I think that would be natural to do, Lee. Yeah. When they're meeting, the day before a game, and they go out to dinner on Saturday night on the road, and they're looking around at what other teams are doing and what other players are doing. Why wouldn't you? Not all situations are the same. It's understood. But the Glazers are not ignorant of football. They're not ignorant. If they see some guy flourishing that was selected after a guy that the Bucks took who can't even get on the field, they're probably wondering about Noah Spence. They're asking Jason Light and Dirk Cutter about Noah Spence. They want to know about what's going on with Ronald Jones. Why didn't he dress the first few weeks of the season? They're very curious about these things. I'm a little surprised, frankly, that they didn't step in on the Mike Smith situation. Maybe there was some discussions. Maybe they did make a suggestion to Dirk Cutter. I think they were part of the reason that Todd Monken's calling plays. I do.
You think so?
I do. because Dirk Cutter was firmly on record saying, I'm calling the plays. I'm calling the plays. It's come up before, and he's always been very consistent about it. I'm not saying they ordered anything, but I think they're involved in getting Jameis Winston back on the field, and he's going to be our guy for the next 12 weeks. I think the Glazers are part of that, as they should be. As they should be.
So you think Cutter wanted to stick with Fitzpatrick?
No, I'm not saying
that. Are you talking about?
I'm saying they had a discussion and they put their input in. They didn't stand on the sidelines and say, we're staying out of this. That's all I'm saying.
So basically you're
saying... Right away you're jumping into they're telling Dirk Cutter what to do.
See if I can read your mind here. There was a meeting with the Glazer brothers and Dirk Cutter. I'm guessing Jason Light was involved in the meeting. And they... May have said, Dirk, what are your plans when Jameis gets off suspension?
Yeah, maybe a conference call.
And Dirk said, damn right I'm going to start him. Okay, there's one. No, thanks, Dirk.
That's a short phone call. That's a short phone call. I mean, why wouldn't you want to see Jameis Winston in the next 12 weeks? You got to see Jameis Winston.
You know the Glazer family better than I. You know the brother. Not only have they never dismissed a coach midseason.
That's right.
Have they ever forced a coordinator out the door? Midseason? I mean, I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
Now, obviously, Mike Shula is the most famous example. Like, get out of town. And there were other offensive. Who did I hear on radio? They kept saying Clyde Christensen. I don't ever remember them forcing Dungy to fire Clyde Christensen.
Now, Steve, having said that, you know, could they be part of a discussion with Raheem Morris and Lovie Smith when those guys took over the defense in midseason? It happened. It happened in midseason.
Well, you know, yeah, that's a good point. But did... Who got rid of Bates?
They could have been part of the discussion.
Yeah, well, look, we're not going to know, who orders what or who's encouraging what. But was it Les Steckel or was it Clyde Christensen that they pushed out the door back in the day?
Steckel, or both? The theory is that Monty Kiffin pushed Steckel out the door, saying he's not one of us. He doesn't blend in well with the other coaches on the staff. The irony is they had a very good offense that year under Steckel.
Yeah.
Very, very good offense under Steckel. And next thing you know, he's gone. So the way I hear it, Monty Kiffin was a big part of that. Even though Steckel's on the other side of the ball.
I remember Steve Dumig, I could be dead wrong here. Wasn't it Steve Dumig who said, and I know he was tight with Monty, that Monty and Steckel crossed swords, for lack of a better term, so much that Kiffin went up in the press box halfway through the season, he couldn't handle being around him.
And if you're Tony Dungy, you're going to side with Monty Kiffin. You're going to side with Monty Kiffin.
Well, of course, Ira. Of course. Wanted to ask you this, Ira, and it was great to hear from fanretreat.com and all those ticket offers there. Bucks, Lightning open up Saturday night. You going to be watching the game, Ira? You going out there?
Preseason favorites to win the cup, Steven. It's cup or bust. And you know the sad part? If they do lift the cup, and people will go crazy in this town, Steve Yzerman won't be the general manager.
Yeah.
So that means he never did get it done technically in Tampa, because I don't think he'll be here.
Meanwhile, after
this season.
Lee's head is spinning. You just said cup and bust at Hooters. What are you doing?
Come on, Steve.
Well, along
on.
Those lines, I was going to say, no one segues between subjects better. No one segues like Steve better than Kay Adams.
There you go.
All right, Ira, I just wanted to get your take on, you know, how you think the Glazers might view and evaluate the draft as it goes on, their passion for the team and for the, you know, staring at the league and what's working and what's not working on their team. This weekend, though, we got a slate of games. You know, we touched a little bit on the Steelers and the Falcons. The Chiefs and the Jaguars, these are your Chiefs. I think it's a fascinating game of the day. It's modern NFL offense with the young gunslinger against old-school defense. What do you think here?
Well, the first thing I think is Leonard Fournette, screw you. I've taken you twice in two fantasy drafts. Last year you got banged up. You missed about four games. This year I've gotten one half of football out of you. You're a little soft, Fournette. Shame on me for picking you. What am I doing taking Fournette in the second round? I'm dying over here, Isbitz. I just picked up Peyton Barber. He just hit the waiver wire because the Bucks aren't playing this week. I scooped him up. Does that tell you everything I need to know about Leonard Fournette?
You know why that's funny, Lee? It's funny because I'm the one who dropped Peyton Barber from my roster.
I grabbed him.
And you're the moron who picked him up.
Don't say that, Steve. This is a great matchup. You know, I watched my Chiefs Monday night. Breathtaking performance. Absolutely breathtaking. Lee, I'm not big on characterizing intangibles. Mahomes has the it factor. He has it.
He sure does.
He has it. He's taking this league by storm. Denver put tremendous heat on him. He wasn't throwing from the pocket. He's running left. He's running right. He's running left and throwing left. Nobody's ever seen a play like that. I mean, what an improvisational play.
Sage Jameis, 2016 against the Falcons, left-handed pass. But go ahead.
He faced a second and 30 on that drive.
Yeah.
You know, and got it done. And here come the Jags. Arguably the best defense in the league. Let's go back to fantasy football. That's my defense. I took them high. Jacksonville's defense. They might get lit up this week. The game's at Arrowhead, I believe. They're tough there. But I think the Jags are going to win this game. No Fournette. I think the Jags are going to win it. I don't like the Chiefs' defense whatsoever. Now, here's the crazy thing, Lee, if you're into statistics.
No.
They're giving up a ton of points and a ton of yards. But they have the number one third down defense in football.
Ah.
Very strange. Now, that's a key stat. You're number one.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you know, when it's not third down, you're getting lit up. You're getting killed. So that's a funny anomaly right there. I think the Jags will do enough on offense, score 24-27. Chiefs come down to earth a little bit. If Mahomes thought that defense in Denver was tough, wait till he gets a face full of Calais Campbell and company. Now, Jalen Ramsey's shooting his mouth off again. What's the matter with this kid?
That's what Jalen Ramsey does.
What is now he's taking on Tyreek Hill. He goes, he's a kick returner. That's all he is. It shows tremendous confidence by Ramsey. See, I think he's trying to take a page out of Deion's, you know.
He does, yeah.
And that's the way you get endorsements and get your name out
there.
First of all, he's no Deion Sanders, but he's
Nobody
damn
is.
Good.
Yeah.
He's damn good. So let him go follow Tariq Hill all over the field. That's a game within the game. I think the Jags win the game. I think that's the game of the week right now.
Picking the Chiefs, and I hope it doesn't come to this. I'm fearing that it may. You know, we're going to find out a lot about a week from Sunday. If the Bucs conduct a coaching search, I hope it doesn't come to that. But if it happens, Eric Bieniemy. He's longtime Andy Reid disciple. He's offensive coordinator with the Chiefs. Not so sure if he's calling plays, but you know what? Belichick coaching tree has been, for the most part, garbage. Andy Reid's coaching tree is a whole different animal. You got a franchise quarterback, I'd go get this Bieniemy guy.
Don't forget, Nate Nagy was calling plays last year.
I understand
And now he's with the 3-1
Bears. And before that, Doug Peterson.
Andy Reid's tree has strong roots, Steven.
Sage, you're going to enjoy this as well. Fantasy, of course. I dumped the Vikings defense. And for this week, I picked up the Chiefs defense because I'm very, very confident that the Chiefs will get up on the Jaguars, make them one-dimensional.
Pick off a couple of balls.
No Fournette. Force Bortles to throw, and they'll probably make a couple of plays. So there you go. But I think this is going to be a really interesting game. I do think the Jaguars will find a way to win it. And I hope old school football wins out. I think that's always fun. But that's just me.
You know, I heard somebody the other day, Lee, talking about, and Steve mentioned it the other day, with 1,000 yards receiving has lost its luster a little bit. Because if you did it in 1993, it really meant something. And now less. And along those lines, Lee, throwing for 4,000 yards in a season, having a passer rating of like 95, used to mean something. Now the goalpost has shifted. Now you got to have 100 to be considered elite.
Well,
things are changing quickly in the NFL in terms of the record book. It's a whole new way of judging things.
I side with Phil Mushnick of the New York Post when it comes to quarterback ratings. Not only is it hocus pocus, I'm waiting for the first person who cites quarterback ratings to define how they're measured.
You know who had a great quarterback rating? Chad Pennington. Is anybody talking him up for the Hall of Fame?
Well, I got a better one for you. When
Kyle Bowler
has a better quarterback rating than Roger Staubach, the whole damn thing needs to be scrapped.
You're talking about career?
Yeah.
That says it all. That says it all.
Thank you.
Bowler's considered a bust.
Beyond a bust. He's a complete stiff. Where you and I both admit that Roger Staubach may be,
very underrated.
He was Joe Montana before Joe Montana.
You know what you go by, Steve? You go by the eye test. That's what you do. You go by the eye test.
And the
Kyle
ratings.
Bowler, zero. Thank you. Staubach, A+.
I'm glad you brought up the eye test because, seriously, Rondé Barber, Tiki Barber, they're close. They've been broadcasting together this year on Fox, and Rondé, of course, is a fixture at One Buck Place. I've been told he has an office there. He's very tight with
Jason
Light.
By the way, I was not overwhelmed with Chris Spielman last week. Take it easy, Chris. Do your homework.
All right, Sage.
Not everybody's brilliant out there.
So, Ira, I wrote this up on Joe Bucks Fan. Tiki, on his radio show early this week, was talking about the Bucks. And he goes on to say that Rondé Barber told him that, you know, last year at One Buck, the priority was re-sign Mike Evans, and then we were going to re-sign Jameis and extend him. And then, per Tiki, that disappeared the moment Jameis got suspended. And now, Tiki was out, you know, he's been at One Buck a couple of weeks ago for the Eagles game, and he's, you know, tight with Rondé, whatever. Now he's saying that, I'll read you the quote. He said that, I think that the Bucks did it correctly in building their roster, and I think it's done correctly. But the key piece is Jameis, and they don't have an answer on him yet. They need one badly, really badly, Tiki said this week.
Doesn't that reinforce my column, Lee? That the jury's, the Glazer jury, the only jury that counts is the Glazer jury. If there's regime change, the Glazers are still going to be here.
So
if the Glazers want Winston next February, after hiring a new coach, Jameis Winston's going to be the Buck quarterback. That's just the way it is. As a matter of fact, it's going to have a heavy influence on who they pick if there's regime change. So Tiki Barber is reinforcing. I'm not saying Winston's going to flop over 12 weeks, but I am going to say they have made no decision about Jameis Winston, nor should they until this season's over. You have already made a decision on Jameis Winston. I think that's wrong.
Well, here's...
You may continue.
I was thinking similarly to what you were saying. Similarly. What I mean by that is, I took from Steve's article was that there's no lock. Jason Light's going to be back next year. So why would the Glazers say, hey, go ahead and start negotiating with Jameis when he himself is not a lock?
Even though
he
has a contract for 2019.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you talk to people within One Buck Palace, they'll tell you that Jason freely admits, just because he has a contract extension, a one-year contract, doesn't mean he's going to return.
That's right. That's right.
So could it be just simple prudency that since Jason isn't a lock to come back, the Glazers aren't going to say, Jason, go ahead and proceed with contract negotiations because we don't know if you're
going to be
back.
That could be a facet of it, but I think the overriding thing, Steve, and here's, you can write anything you want to write down on your hand, take the pen and write it on your hand as I'm speaking. But the Glazers have not made their mind up whether this guy is the face of the franchise. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have said that a year ago. I'm saying it right now.
Yeah, that was what I gleaned from Tiki, because we know Dirk Cutter and Jason Light don't need an answer. They believe in Jameis. So the answer goes from up on high, and you just wonder what that threshold is. But they'll just evaluate as they go, I guess.
Do you have a problem with the Glazers not making their mind up about Jameis?
No, of course not. Look, if he has a bad year, I'll be right there with you in saying, you know, we gave him a shot, he couldn't do it. You know, but it's got to be a bad year, not just the team going 5-7. He's got to look like a bad quarterback, which I guess we don't know yet.
You mean the turnover problem continues?
He's got to look bad. We all know what a bad – you just said that the eye test. We all know what a bad quarterback is. He's throwing picks. He's looking lost. He's fumbling. He's not – we know what it looks like. So – I always think of Dirk Cutter telling everybody that Mike Glennon is a starter in this league, and I evaluate him as an excellent quarterback.
Is Glennon on a roster?
He's sitting on the Cardinals bench.
He is on the Cardinals bench.
Cardinals bench. All right, Sage, lastly, we ended last podcast with me asking you, if the Bucks get blown out in Atlanta, is Mike Smith going to survive back-to-back blowouts? And you said he shouldn't, and that was the end of the podcast. Do you still stand behind that?
I do. Obviously, Dirk Cutter still has faith in Mike Smith, we think. Although his answer wasn't a ringing endorsement, was not.
Nor should it have been.
But if we don't see any changes out of the bye week, and there ain't going to be any more bye weeks going forward, so if we see another performance, and it doesn't have to be as bad as Chicago, if we see a bad one against Atlanta, and by the way, may I add and point out, Atlanta's got a heck of a lot better offense than the Bears. If the Bucks lose 38-24, if I'm the Glazers, I got to step in. And if Cutter won't do it, I got a problem.
Well, what do you think of this? And I don't. Maybe this has already happened. I don't know. Could Dirk have just shuffled the chairs on the Titanic deck behind the scenes? you know, go up to Duffner and say, Mark, you're taking over. You know, just to save face.
Maybe give some of the assistants a little more clout.
Yeah, to save face. Not to embarrass Mike Smith.
You know, just to shake things up. Mike Smith, get your butt down on the field. Shake things up. Do something different.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't have a hang up with the where is he at, because how many times have we heard Dirk Cutter, someone will ask him a question, he goes, well, I don't know. I couldn't see it from where I was standing. If Smith thinks he can get a better view of things, so be it. Sit in the press box.
This would not be a bad spot for Mike Smith to resurrect himself in Atlanta, where he made his name as a head coach and was a good head coach for a long time for the Falcons.
Yeah, he had an amazing start there. All right, Sage, of course, we appreciate you coming in for a sort of a bonus podcast, a little weekend feel for us here. Everybody have a safe weekend. We'll be back Monday recording from One Buck Palace. I haven't checked with your schedule yet, Ira. But
that's news to me over there at the Kemper.
But we'll be back Monday. The Bucks are practicing, and of course, our regular podcast schedule will return Tuesday and Thursday. Leave a review. Keep supporting the podcast.
Mike Smith might not let me ask the first question on Wednesday, Lee, after a couple of the things I've been saying this week. But you know what? He's a big boy. He's not naive. He's got to get the job done, and he knows it.
I thought it was funny when you were talking about where he's going to sit. A lot of fans are probably thinking he should be sitting at home. Just call in a play or two, Mike, and stay home. All right, get out of here, Sage.